It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. It was 20 years ago today that President Clinton signed the Family and Medical Leave Act. It meant that employees could take off up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave to care for a new baby or a family member with a serious illness.
I'm very proud that the first bill I am to sign as president truly puts people first.
Bill Clinton has since said that this is the law that over the years is most likely to get people to stop him in airports and thank him. But the law has huge gaps. Gaps supporters had hoped to fill in over time. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports that has not happened.
If the Family and Medical Leave Act has meant nothing to you, you are far from alone.
Half the workforce is still excluded from the FMLA.
Ellen Bravo heads Family Values at Work. She says only those who work at least 25 hours a week are eligible, even as an ever-growing share of jobs is part-time.
Many people are cobbling together two or three part-time jobs, none of which have enough hours to make them eligible for family and medical leave. So this is a disaster. We have to bring the rules in line with the realities of the workforce.
Same-sex partners, not eligible. Need to care for a grandparent, they're not included. And crucially, businesses with fewer than 50 people are exempt.
Well, I was shocked to find out that I wasn't eligible for FMLA.
When she got pregnant, Janine Sato was a manager at a North Carolina nonprofit that touted its family friendliness. But she was told to return to work after 6 weeks or risk losing her job.
You know, I had a lot of issues with that. I had a difficult delivery. I had a colicky baby. My husband was working. It was very stressful, and I left as a result of it.
Today, Sato works with low-income women who are new mothers.
I see parents going back to work after 1 or even 2 weeks because they have no paid sick, they have no vacations, they're not eligible for FMLA. Even if they were eligible, they couldn't afford to take the unpaid time off.
You know, employers have constraints on them.
Mark Friedman is with the Chamber of Commerce, which led opposition to the Family and Medical Leave Act. He says it's just too big a burden for many small companies. For larger businesses, he says the FMLA works pretty well for new parents, but medical leave can be a nightmare for employers to track. Friedman says it's especially challenging when workers use it intermittently with no advance notice.
It's a ripple effect. Other people have to cover for them. Customers are left wanting. It can create a lot of problems throughout the workplace.
Another problem, Friedman says the leave was left unpaid to prevent misuse. And yet,
the 50 and the Ravens have won it.
The day of the year when FMLA leave is accessed the most is the day after the Super Bowl.
Still, the U.S. Department of Labor says the vast majority of employers report it's easy to comply with the law and misuse is rare. And if there are some bad egg workers, the same can be said for some businesses.
It was described to me as if something really disastrous happened.
Mo Kessler used to work at a national grocery store chain in Kentucky. She told her bosses she had endometriosis and suffered excruciating pain a few days each month. But no one ever mentioned she could use FMLA leave. And at the time, she didn't know better. Kessler says she was told to push through the pain or be written up.
I would try to hide in the back because my face was so pale and I was so visibly sick that I needed to hide away from the customers to not scare them off.
With so many gaps and confusion, the main debate over work and family has moved on, circling back to where it was before. Paid family leave is now the rallying call for grassroots groups like this one last month in New York. California and New Jersey have already mandated such programs. Advocates hope they might be a model for federal legislation and that it happens before another 20 years passes. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.